They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Judgment Day can come across as a scary ordeal. And certainly a holy fear is required of us, because we will be held accountable one day for every sin committed and every good action that we failed to take up. Heaven and hell are real. And sadly, church teaching says that not everyone goes to heaven. But as Catholic Christians, we have a mature and wholesome understanding and approach to Judgment Day. God wants us to be perfectly united to Him in heaven. And so, Judgment Day does not have to be something we dreadfully approach as if our aim is simply to slip past God and to sneak into heaven. No, God wants us there. He wants you there. Judgment Day will only be frightful if we have conflicting desires within us. But do we desire heaven? I'm afraid that all too often that desire is lacking, at least to a certain degree. There's a song by Kenny Chesney in which one of the lyrics goes, "Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now." There's several songs that I can think of that speak of something similar. If you think about it, though, that's startling. If I know intellectually that heaven is pure happiness and perfect fulfillment, then why don't I have a stronger desire to go there? St. John Vianney addressed this when he talked about the importance of prayer. He said that people who find themselves going through the right motions, following church teaching for the most part, but are hesitant to separate themselves from worldly affairs, these are lukewarm Christians. He says that these people, they want to be children of God while still following the ways of the world. These people will not get to heaven. Whew. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that a little bit. The tension that I feel of following Christ, but yet noticing in myself an attraction to worldly affairs. If we're lukewarm in our faith, we will never develop a strong attraction for God, and Judgment Day will indeed be frightful. How do we change that? How do we redirect our lives? By prayer. St. John Vianney says that when we pray, we rise to heaven. We penetrate into the bosom of God. It was by prayer that the saints reached heaven, and by prayer we too shall reach it. Prayer is the source of all graces and the mother of all virtues, the efficacious and universal way by which God wills that we should come to Him. It's through prayer, communication with God, that we foster that longing and love for God. If you have lost the taste of prayer, said Pope Pius VI, you will regain the desire for it by returning humbly to its practice. And Pope Benedict XVI said that today man is a beggar for meaning and fulfillment, constantly searching for exhaustive answers to the basic questions that he never ceases to ask. Too many people today, especially young people, it seems, are desperately searching for answers, wanting confirmation that God indeed exists and that He loves them. It's in the silence of prayer that God responds and fills the emptiness in one's heart. To quote St. John Vianney again, "Ardent prayer addressed to God, this is man's greatest happiness on earth." If we were to take this seriously, it would revolutionize our lives. Most of you, I'm sure, already do pray. You're here in Mass to begin with, and in private and at home as well. Yet despite this, St. Paul says in today's second reading that the Spirit intercedes for us, comes to the aid of our weakness, because we do not know how to pray as we ought. I don't know about you, but there are times that even when I do get myself to prayer, that I wonder what I'm doing sometimes. What do I do after I've thanked God for all his blessings? After I've prayed for my loved ones and said my memorized prayers? Then what? What do I do in the silence? It's true. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Not perfectly, anyway. But that's why God sent the third person of the Trinity at Pentecost. And that's why the Holy Spirit is infused into each and every soul at baptism. He intercedes in our prayer by revealing to us more clearly how blessed we are, fostering in us gratitude. The Holy Spirit reveals to us more clearly our faults and our needs so that we can hand them over to God. And the Spirit reveals to us what God the Father wants to make known to us. But oftentimes, we don't give the Holy Spirit room to work. We're undermining it without even realizing it. How do we resolve this? By deliberately and practically carving out periods of silence. The Mass is the greatest prayer that we engage in, which is why part of the parish priority plan is to enhance everyone's experience of Sunday worship. And we've taken specific measures to follow through with this, such as introducing the motet at certain Masses. The motet offers us a slightly different flavor of sacred music, while also offering the congregation specific moments of silence. Just so you're aware, the antiphons that we've been using at the beginning of Mass, which I tried to interrupt by starting too early, also, though, at the offertory and at communion, they're taken from the Roman Gradual. This is the third book necessary for liturgy. We have the Roman Missal for the prayers, the lectionary for the readings, and the Roman Gradual for the music. These are required texts. Just like the Missal is required to enhance the prayer, so is the Roman Gradual with its sacred music selection. And when the motet sings certain pieces unaccompanied by the congregation, these are the moments of silence on your part. Not so that you can't participate, but rather that your participation is actually elevated. Motet stems from the Latin word movere, to move. When you are silent during these certain periods, it is an opportunity to allow the music to foster reflection and meditation on what is being sung and what's happening at that specific time in the Mass. These moments of silence on your part, aided by the music, give the Holy Spirit a greater chance to move you deeper and higher into the prayer that is the Mass. A great example that I think conveys this reality that we're trying to capture can be seen in the movie Shawshank Redemption. If you recall the movie, if you've seen it, Andy Dufresne sneaks into the warden's office, locks the door, and begins to play a piece from an opera over the loudspeakers. And as it begins, everyone in that jail, in that prison, becomes memorized. And here's the narrator, Morgan Freeman's explanation and description. I have no idea to this day what them two Italian ladies were singing about. Truth is, I don't want to know. Some things are best left unsaid. I like to think they were singing about something so beautiful it can't be expressed in words and make your heart ache because of it. I tell you, those voices soared higher and farther than anybody in a gray place dares to dream. It was like some beautiful bird flapped into our drab little cage and made these walls dissolve away. And for the briefest of moments, every last man in Shawshank felt free. The power of silence and music is undeniable, especially in prayer. If we can more fully participate in the prayer of the Mass, we will naturally foster a greater attraction to prayer. And the more this desire for prayer is acted upon, two things will happen. We will grow in our union with God, and we will eagerly approach heaven.